The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
I mean, look at this. Kendrick Perkins in the building. Great job last night, by the way.
Well, I appreciate
Malika
it.
Malika crushed it. Jay Billis, the whole thing.
Thank you. I appreciate
great.
It.
Very entertaining.
You know what? It's good to see you. But look, when I'm in studio, I need better energy out of you.
Yeah,
you know
seriously.
What I mean? I come in there, Molly
big,
bumping.
Big energy.
She bumping the new Beyonce. You know what I mean? You coming there moping. I'm here. All right? I'm here. I'm live in the flesh.
I owe you better than that. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
You heard Beyonce. But can't break my soul. Just channel it. Let's go. Let's go. We'll get to you. Okay, so here's what turned out to be the big deal last night. The trade that sent Jalen Duren, the 13th pick, along with Kemba Walker to Detroit. The Hornets were also involved. New York gets a 2025 first-round pick. In return, they added three future first-rounders in a trade for the 11th pick as well. Here's Woj with more on the Knicks' thought process.
The goal for this Knicks team right now, gather up assets using those first-round picks that they can use in future trades and get salary cap space to make a run in free agency at Dallas Mavericks guard Jalen Brunson. And so their goal is to try to lure Brunson to New York. His former agent, Leon Rose, is the president of the Knicks, and they just hired his father, Rick Brunson, as an assistant coach.
I don't understand what the attitude is all about.
Allow me to explain.
Please.
You know, Kendrick Perkins, I didn't have time this morning because I was taking care of a few things, and I didn't have time. I was going to call my pastor, Pastor A.R. Bernard, Christian Cultural Center in Brooklyn, New York. I was going to call him because
you should. You need prayer.
I need to be there more. Obviously, you know, I pay my tithes, but the bottom line is I could do better. You know, I'm just trying to figure out what is it that I've done. What is it that I've done? What is it that Knicks fans have done to deserve this? I mean, we're loyal. We stick with our team. We pack the garden, even though it's rat infested, for crying out loud. You can sit up there and fix it up and renovate it the way you want to. All you got to do is go downstairs. Rats looking at you. They ain't running. They looking at you like, what you looking at? This is what goes on in Madison Square Garden. We're at Penn Station, even though they got a new thing across the street where the Amtrak station is. It looks pretty up there. I'm just trying to figure out what is it that I think I'm a good guy. I'm not a bad guy. You know, I got love for you. You're my little big brother. You know, I love you, Molly. You know what I'm saying? I didn't do anything wrong to anybody. What did I do to deserve these Knicks?
Maybe God's just trying to humble you.
Yeah, it's one thing.
It's beyond humble.
Yes.
It's beyond humble. I don't even know the word for it right now. Let me put it in this proper perspective for the audience out there to understand, because I'm a diehard New York Knicks fan. I've been a Knicks fan all my life. The New York Knicks have had 17 losing seasons in the last 21 years. They had 9 straight losing seasons, had 3 straight winning seasons. Mike Woodson did a great job, won the Atlantic Division crown, actually won a playoff series. And then after that, they had another 6 or 7 losing seasons before they won last year with Tom Thibodeau teasing us into believing that new times have arrived. And then we see the same old nonsense taking place. You watched that draft. You covered that draft last night. I was on ABC. You were on ESPN, Big Perk. You saw the talent in that draft. You got a lottery pick. What's the cardinal rule about having a lottery pick? When you got a lottery pick, you got to get a lottery talent. That's what you need to do. You don't walk into the draft. Even though it was at the Barclays Center, damn it, it's still New York. It's one of the boroughs. You're in New York City. You have robbed fans of a reason to be joyous, the reason to be hopeful for the better part of the last 21 years. That's what you did. Okay? Now, what do you do? You got the 11th pick. You got the 11th pick,
you love
right?
Your national players.
You cannot trade up to get the guy I wanted most, this kid Ivy out of Purdue. You couldn't trade up to get him, but I understand because the Detroit Pistons knew they wanted him. They grabbed him. We get all that. You couldn't trade up. Fine. You don't have the assets. Okay? You got the 11th pick. You had Ty Washington there. You had Mark Williams there out of Duke, who's a rim protector and a shot blocker. You had that kid Durin. This kid is athletic. He's considered a game changer, arguably one of the best talents in the draft. A lot of people are high on him. You pass up on him. You draft some dude from France, which made me almost collapse, okay, because it gave me visions of Frank Ntilikina years ago when you passed up on Donovan Mitchell to draft him. So you draft another dude from France, okay? I've seen Leon Rose. We can't find him. There's an APB out for him because you can't find him. You understand? The press can't find him. You can see him during the games. You understand what I'm saying? But you don't know wherever the hell else he is, okay? So then you do this, okay, and you trade all of these picks, and of all the teams in the NFL, and I'm sorry, in the NBA draft, who had picks, they were the one team that walked away without picking one single player in the first round. This is what they do. And then check this out. So it gets me, as I start engaging a little history, what do we see during the playoffs, Kendrick Perkins? The Dallas Mavericks are playing during the playoffs. I believe it was against the Phoenix Suns at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Who's sitting in the audience? Julius Randle with Allen Houston and Worldwide West. This ain't Kentucky! This ain't college recruiting. What the hell are you doing? They go there and they show up to the game like they recruit Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson, I hope you're watching this. Man, I love the improvement that you showed. You're a hell of a player. And I want that kid to get his money. Please don't get me wrong. This is no shade on Jalen Brunson. In the initial part of my career, I covered Temple for the Philadelphia Inquirer. Kendrick Perkins, I covered Rick Brunson. I love Rick Brunson. Even though Rick Brunson was coaching high school in Camden, New Jersey, the bottom line is he's got a history as an assistant coach. I got no problems with him being the assistant coach. But you could have been hired him. So you hire him this past June when you know you're going to be recruiting Jalen Brunson. And then on top of it all, you creating this cap space and all of this stuff to get Jalen Brunson. Is he KD? Is he Kawhi Leonard? I mean, Jalen Brunson's a damn good player. I'll be happy to have him. But all of this stuff you're going to because you're selling New York on Jalen Brunson. That's what you're doing. This is what we are with the New York Knicks. I'm going to close by saying this. Worldwide West and I go back over a quarter century. I love him dearly. And I'm happy for him. I'm happy he got the job there. We understand that Leon Rose is the boss. Leon Rose, you know, does what he does. He talks when he wants to talk, which is very, very rare. And he hides often, okay, as he showed evidence last year, doing an interview with the press in September, then not being found for the whole damn season, and then getting interviewed by the James Dolan-controlled network, which is just pathetic and weak. The New York Knicks are a disaster. I'm not happy at all. I'm not going to say another word about them for this show, but this. I'm not going to call for a boycott. I'm not going to go that far. But I will tell you this. I will tell you this. I'm not going to call for a protest. I'm telling you right here, right now, I'm not going to the Garden next year. I won't go one game there. I won't go one game. I'm so disgusted with them. They're not doing this to me anymore. I'm sick and tired of this nonsense. I'm not going to the Garden next year. I'm not discouraging anybody else.
Two wrongs don't make a right, Steven.
I'm not wrong. This is for my own health and my own sanity.
Oh, got it.
I'm okay. Done.
I'm
still going to root for them.
Good. Protect your
peace. I can't be in the Garden because I'm scared of what I would say to them if I saw them face to face. Go ahead, Kendrick.
You know what? You know I got to tell you the truth.
One last thing.
Oh.
The New York Knicks. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Are worse than the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh.
Wow.
Well, listen. I don't know how to comment on that. I won't comment on that, but I'm gonna tell you this. You owe the New York Knicks and the organization an apology. You and Spike Lee. Y'all body language and the way that y'all acted like kindergarten yesterday was ridiculous. For the simple fact that I understand they had the 11th pick, but in this draft, the 11th pick wasn't moving the needle like that. So let's look at the overall big picture, right? You have RJ Barrett, who I believe has shown the Knicks fans that he's a guy that you could actually somewhat build a franchise around.
I like RJ. I'm proud of RJ.
Okay, he keeps getting better, right? OB Toppin, last year when Tibbs finally decided to give him minutes, I saw him hang a couple 40 balls and 30 balls towards the end of the season. Quickly, I saw him do his thing last year at the end of the season when they finally got Kemba out the way and handed him over the keys. Here's the thing that you have to realize. It's just starting, right? They have to approach free agency. They have to go and look at the drawing board for us, what they want to do for us, making trades to make the, for the betterment of the team. And I think you overreacted yesterday over them trading the 11th pick. And I actually thought it was a great thing because they was creating salary space, salary cap space, to bring in a player to help elevate. So if a team is showing you signs that they're trying, yeah, and they're not trying to go with youth, but they're actually trying to build and add players to this roster that's going to help y'all compete and make the playoffs and things to that nature, how can you be so disappointed today?
Okay, let me ask a couple of questions real quick. Number one, you don't get to say that to me about me owing them an apology. I'll be damned. The New York Knicks organization owe New York Knicks fans an apology for the level of ineptitude that has spanned over 20 years. The ownership means that Mr. James Dolan is an utter embarrassment. You got a president of basketball operations who hides from the public. Oh, yeah, we don't know what the hell he's doing, okay? He don't talk about what he's doing. There's no representation whatsoever. They leave Tom Thibodeau out there hanging as the voice of the New York Knicks when you behind the scenes making decisions that he probably doesn't agree with. That's number two. Number three, with all due respect in terms of how Spike Lee and I acted, Mr. Kendrick Perkins, you who came on national television with a jailhouse outfit with handcuffs talking about what was going to happen to the Golden State Warriors, going to talk to me about how we
looked. Hilarious.
Excuse me. It was hilarious to you. The point is, it was hilarious to Boston fans when you were winning. It wasn't hilarious when all was said and done because they got bounced out of there. The point that I'm trying to make to you is this. You abandoned the Dallas Cowboys. They were so disgusted. They disgusted you so much. You said, "I'm giving up." You are in Texas. You live in Texas, and you disassociated yourself from the Dallas Cowboys.
I did.
But I got a history with the New York Knicks here of so much ineptitude, and you gonna tell me I owe them an apology?
You know what's happening right now? He's acting out.
Yeah.
He's taking his anger out on you. He's deflecting. He's hurt, so he's trying to hurt you. And he's
not trying to hurt him.
Things but, like the Dallas Cowboys.
It's not about the Dallas Cowboys. I said the Knicks are worse.
Stephen A, listen, I wasn't saying, Molly, this is where he has it, I think, confused. I wasn't talking about the New York Knicks and what they have done over the last 21 seasons.
You talking about what they did last night?
What they did last night.
I'm not satisfied with it. This is New York, baby.
I understand.
This is New York,
I understand.
Man. But I mean, come on, man. You put us through enough.
But look, let me tell you this. The guy, if they would have drafted a player with the 11th pick, guess what, Stephen A? Most likely he would have been a project. And you telling me you have time to wait on a project?
So with them
trading away the pick, and actually showing you that they're committed to actually trying to produce and get personnel in there to win now.
You put me in a bad spot because what I'm saying to you is I like Jalen Brunson a lot. I believe in the kid. I think he's got a game, and I think he's got a future in the right situation. Dallas is the right situation. I'm not sure about New York. It's a lot more difficult throwing the ball to R.J. Barrett and Julius Randle than it is to Luka Doncic. I think we'd all agree with that. And, okay, and as much as we love Tom Thibodeau and as great of a coach as he can be, listen, damn it, Jason Kidd is something special. Right. So let's pay attention to that.
Let's change the subject.
What do you mean let's change the subject? I'm answering this question. Okay? And a point that I'm trying to make to you is this. This is New York City. You go out there and you're doing all of these things, the creating the cap space and all of this other stuff. And then you're going to come to New Yorkers. I understand you're in Texas. But you can't come to New Yorkers when you do all of this. For Jalen Brunson. He's a good player. He deserves his money. I'm proud of him. I wish him nothing but the best, and he's going to do well. And Rick Brunson, I love the brother, and I'm happy he's on the assistant coaching staff. But to hire him the month before you're pursuing his son in free agency, when you're Leon Rose and your son is Jalen's agent, okay, it's weeks of college stuff.
Yeah.
This is the end. NBA. I'm telling you right now, when you go to New York, next month, in this right here in this city, This is where we are right now. When you sit up there and you say, we got Jalen Brunson, New Yorkers are going to go like this. We did all of this for that?
Do you want Jalen Brunson?
I don't mind having him.
Okay.
But I'm saying, the hoops that you went through to get him, I'm like, wait a minute. This is where, is it, do you know many people more connected than World Wide West?
No, I don't.
Thank you. Neither do I. This man, the brother's institution, the brother could give lessons. He could give a master class on networking and connections. Jalen Brunson? I'm not saying don't get him. I'm not saying don't bring him. I'm not saying don't give him some paper. What I'm saying is when you doing all of this, it's got, I mean, we looking for more keys. We ain't got it. And then you try, now, so now it leaves us to depend on them to build the culture. Well, we believed in it a couple of years ago, and then you backtracked last season. So now you got New Yorkers up in arms again, wondering, what the hell are we going to do? Spike Lee got on his knees and prayed. Think about that for a second. Season ticket holder, loves it, never has a negative word to say about the Knicks. Give them his money every year, no matter how exorbitant their prices continue to exercise. Because you know they increase prices every year. You know that's what they do, right? So you got all of that going on. He gives his money happily and stuff like that. He got to a point where he said,
you know,
let's
what?
Pray on national television. Man, it's serious, man. I've
came to the conclusion that you and Spike Lee are just delusional when it comes down to the Knicks.
Y'all expectations for the Knicks, not expectations. We have no expectations. That's the point. We hope. We pray. We don't expect.
Okay.
We haven't expected anything for a quarter century.
I know you need to vent, but can we talk about Kyrie Irving now?
Yes, go ahead, Molly.
Oh my gosh, jeez, I'm just trying to do my job.
Go ahead. You're antagonizing me as a Knicks fan. That's what you're doing. But go ahead.
No, I'm not. Kyrie Irving has created a list of teams he'd like the Brooklyn Nets to consider working with on a sign and trade if he and the teams can't agree on terms for him to stay in Brooklyn, sources told our Adrian Wojnarowski. Irving has until Wednesday to decide whether he will opt into the final year of the four-year max contract he signed with Brooklyn in 2019 when he joined Kevin Durant and chose the franchise's free agent. If he does, he will be on a $36.9 million deal for next season and will be an unrestricted free agent in July 2023. If Irving opts out, he will be an unrestricted free agent next month when he could either agree to a new deal with the Nets or seek one elsewhere. So here's the list of teams, according to Woj, that he'd consider. The Lakers, the Clippers, the Knicks, the Heat, the Mavs, and the 76ers. None of those teams have cap space to sign him without Nets' help. Meanwhile, Kevin Durant had this to say regarding Kyrie on his podcast. There's no involvement at all. I can't be involved with this. This is this man's livelihood. This is much bigger than me. Being a free agent is one of the most important times in your career that can't be swayed by anyone else. Nothing can happen right now. I don't think he can make a decision on opting out until the 29th. So I think I'll just let things play out and see what happens. All right. Big Crook, let's give Stephen A. a little break here. How does Kyrie look now?
He looked like a fool. He looked crazy.
Who?
Kyrie Irving.
Okay.
The fact that he had the audacity to put together a wish list and give it to the Brooklyn Nets is the craziest thing I've seen this season and out of Kyrie Irving, and that's saying a lot. Here's why. He has been the most disrespectful person when it comes to disrespecting the organization. Stephen A. alluded to plenty of times. Not showing up to work. I'm not talking about the vaccine. I'm talking about before then, when he's getting caught at his sister's birthday party and things of that nature, when he's holding practices and things outside of Steve Nash. Although I'm not a big fan of Steve Nash, it's still a level of respect. And you have the audacity to come in and actually give them a wish list and hope that they help you get where you need to go. That is crazy to me. Why should the Brooklyn Nets try to help Kyrie get somewhere to a team that he want to be on? That's the first thing. The second thing is this. KD, right? One of the best players in the world, one of the best individuals in the world. Me and him have our ups and downs. You and him have y'all ups and downs. But his heart is in the right
place. We both love him.
We both love him, but his heart is in the right place. Here's my thing when it comes down to KD that I just can't wrap my finger around and understand. When it comes to him holding his teammates and quote-unquote brothers accountable for their actions, like a Kyrie Irving or like a James Harden or any of those guys, he's very hesitant and he's very quiet and he's just very supportive of, go ahead, do what you do. I'm going to just take a back seat. Hell, he holds Stephen A. He tries to come at Stephen A. and myself more in the media and on Twitter than he does his own teammates. And that's crazy to me. At what point is KD going to stop being so damn friendly? You know, he always is giving of himself. He's always losing himself in the team, which is a good thing when you're a role player. But at sometimes you have to be selfish if you're a franchise player. And selfish meaning if I'm coming to work every day and I'm coming out here and I'm averaging 27, 28, or 30 points a night, I have to take a stance. And the truth of the matter is this. KD has to take a stance when it comes to Kyrie Irving and stop being so damn friendly because he don't have that much of his career left. I believe he has at least 3 or 4 years of his prime. You can't get that back. He's already wasted about 2 years of his prime dealing with Kyrie Irving since he got to Brooklyn.
Well, there's a couple of things that need to be said here, okay? Number one, you know, Kyrie Irving used to get slandered and mocked because he said the earth was flat. Remember that? Remember all of that stuff? Mm-hmm. And I thought that, you know, whether it was Max Kellerman or others, being a little bit excessive towards him. You know, it's not that big a deal. You know, he's and people used to sit up there and talk about, he ain't the brightest candle on the birthday cake. And, you know, I happen to disagree with that. I think that Kyrie Irving is a highly intelligent individual. But you can be so smart that you act stupid sometimes. That was Kyrie Irving, according to those reports yesterday. See, three of the teams that he picked, you can't even do a sign-and-trade deal with. And in case of the Philadelphia 76ers, you know the only way that will work out? It's the same, send James Harden back to Brooklyn. We know that ain't gonna happen. How dumb can you be? I mean, that's just dumb. That's a new fool right there. That's a new kind of fool. That's a new kind of stupidity, okay? So let's get that out the way. I'm going to tell you this. I think that ultimately, like I said yesterday, KP, if I'm the Brooklyn Nets, I damn, go ahead and walk. Go ahead and do that. Go ahead and take $30 million less, $31 million less, and go to the Lakers. Now, I'm being told that the Clippers, Mr. Steve Ballmer would want them. Okay, but you're going to probably have to give up Paul George or Kawhi Leonard in order to pull that off. And those brothers are cool with one another, pretty tight with one another. They got a chemistry and a culture that exists within the Clippers organization that's just building. And you want to risk all of that for Kyrie Irving? I got to see that to believe it, even though I'm hearing Clippers, Clippers, Clippers. Okay? Let me get to KD. Draymond Green, are you out there, my brother? Likelihood is that you on vacation somewhere chilling in the islands with four rings. You know what I'm saying? You chilling, my brother. I ain't mad at you at all. You chilling. But this is a bad day for Draymond Green because KD just proved new media what? You better find another candidate because he ain't it. You talk about a dude that sat on a podcast and said absolutely nothing. That's what KD did. That's why new media don't apply. See, Draymond Green gonna speak. And he gonna tell you where he's standing, how he feels, and why. All right? He got others like J.J. Redick and others. They gonna do that. KD said absolutely nothing. How you gonna do your podcast, which is called the Etc. I believe that's what it is. The ETC, the Etc. Mm-hmm. I mean, Etc. Okay. Congrats. Wish you nothing but the best. But if you gonna have a podcast, don't you have to say something? He said absolutely nothing. 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 You got to speak, my brother. Excuse me. How'd you feel when Golden State won the chip? Did you regret making that move? Okay, no. How do you feel about Kyrie Irving? We know you can't tell him what to do because it's his life. But what about the lives he's affecting, meaning yours? Is life going to be the same for you if Kyrie departs? Who you gonna be playing with? Who's your teammates gonna be? Who would you want? Are you ready to rely upon Ben Simmons? Do you think the Nets should work out a sign and trade deal? If so, with who? If not, why? Does he have a right to ask for this amount of money? Has he shown the proper commitment? He's missed 123 games over the last 3 years. You cool with that?
You see what I'm talking about, new media? See, Draymond, you can say that, my brother, because you'll answer those questions. You'll ask them and answer them.
KD ain't do that. New media?
You sure? You see, when you talk about the media, you got to answer questions. When you're talking about new media, you got to address topics the public want to know. And while you're addressing those topics that the public want to know about, you actually have to answer. You don't get to dance like you on Dancing with the Stars. They don't go down like that. That ain't new media. So I would like to say to Draymond Green, your prognostications about new media, my brother, you live up to it. The Draymond Green podcast, listen to it. He's doing a great job with that, okay? He lives up to it because he got something to say. But if KD is your definition of new media, well, let's just say KD in the media ain't the same KD that's on the basketball court. When healthy, I believe he's the best in the world, okay? When healthy, this brother is spectacular and a superstar. And by the way, he's a great guy. Ain't nobody impugning his character here. But when it comes to the media and speaking your mind, evidently, clapping back at the media ain't the same as clapping back at your own contemporaries, particularly those who are contributing to your stress levels and bringing you down, which is what Kyrie has done. I'm gonna leave it at that.
Would you like to comment? Okay, let's go here, Perk. Which of these six teams should want Kyrie the most?
Oh, this is an easy answer.
Okay, tell me.
It's the Lakers. It's the Lakers. LeBron James and Kyrie Irving. Look, when you talk about Kyrie Irving and him playing elite level of basketball consistently, We haven't seen that since he was with LeBron James. In the postseason with the Cleveland Cavaliers, they were 39-13 with Kyrie Irving and LeBron James. Here's the thing, right? When I look at the Los Angeles Lakers, and I said this before, Molly, when I came on here about a month ago, Kyrie Irving going back to the Lakers, we all know who his mentor was and Kobe Bryant. I think that him wearing a Laker uniform, playing in L.A., you know, having somewhat of that Mamba mentality is going to drive him and push him, along with him pairing up with Anthony Davis and LeBron James. I mean, they would have to be the favorite to win it all, right? So when I look at any team out there that Kyrie could go to and contribute and the best fit for him is the Lakers. I sure don't see him going down to the Miami Heat, right? I sure don't see Udonis Haslem and Eric Spoelstra and Pat Riley dealing with Kyrie Irving. We all know that's one of the best coaches in the game of basketball. So if I had to pick one, it's the Los Angeles Lakers. But I don't know if that happens.
I completely agree with you. Mm-hmm. That's the team who should want him most because of their obvious flaws in that franchise and how they have a standard, and their standard is championships. And LeBron with AD and Kyrie, excuse me, you got to look out for that. That's incredibly, incredibly formidable. There is no way around that because Kyrie is a showstopper for all that we say about him. He is a superstar. He is box office. He is spectacular. And he is a difference maker. No doubt about it in my mind, particularly when you talk about pairing him with LeBron. But can I tell you what I wish? I would love to see Kyrie Irving in Miami. Can I tell you why? Don't you like to do things your own way? Ain't you a king? Ain't the rest of us peons? Because we have we actually have jobs and we have bosses and we have people that we have to answer to. I mean, that's what peons are. Did you know that? In the world of Kyrie Irving, that's peons, okay? 99% of the world population is peons. You know what I'm saying? Kyrie a king. He's king. But the rest of us, I mean, we're just peons. I would love Miami's on your list. Why don't you go talk to LeBron James about Miami? Why don't you talk to D-Wade about Miami? Why don't you talk to Eric Spoelstra? I'm sorry, Chris Bosh about Miami. Ray Allen about Miami. Why don't you talk to those brothers? Why don't you talk to Jimmy Butler about Miami? Kendrick Perkins, who runs Miami? Say it. Who runs Miami?
Udonis Haslam.
No.
Pat Riley.
Pat Riley. That's the Don. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's the Don.
You know why he's the Don? Because he has Udonis Haslam.
No. I'm not diminishing Udonis Haslam and his contribution to that franchise. Me personally speaking, stop playing. I don't like the fact that Udonis Haslam still wearing a jersey. I want that brother in the front office. That's what I want. I want Udonis. I think Udonis Haslam deserves to be in the front office. That's just my personal opinion. I understand how they're utilizing him,
yeah.
But I'm just saying he means so much to that franchise, just like Zoe means that much. I love seeing Zoe right by Pat Riley's side. I wish Udonis Haslam was in that front office, too, and I love the rest of the crew. I mean, Miami's first class all the way. I'm just making the point. You don't get to roll up to South Beach and run the show. See, you got to show the practice on time. You got to show on time, Molly. You got to show on time. You got to make the plane. You got to make the plane and the bus on time. Molly, you don't get to come when you want to and leave when you want to. You don't get to skip practices. You damn sure don't get to have practice with Eric Spoelstra and then without his consent, go get teams in the locker room and conduct your own practices. Oh, no. You don't get to do that. So I find it very interesting that that was one of the teams that he mentioned. I find that very interesting. Oh, so you really, you ready to follow instructions now that you want your money? Very interesting indeed. Very interesting indeed. I'd love to see him. Yeah. I'd love to see him try to go to Miami and be like, I'm Kyrie.
You know what
I'm what I want.
You know what I love?
I want.
His mood's turned around. That's all I care about.
But you know what's crazy, Molly, is that guess what? Kyrie is not the one that Miami wants.
I know. Of course not.
You know who want Miami. Please. And you know who want to be in Miami if Kyrie Irving leaves.
Kevin Durant.
Of course.
It's Kevin Durant.
Of course.
All right. We'll have more on that.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
One of the most anticipated decisions in football was revealed yesterday when Arch Manning, nephew of Eli and Peyton and son of Cooper, committed to the University of Texas. Arch, the number one overall recruit of the 2023 class, chose the Longhorns over the likes of Alabama, Stephen A., Georgia, LSU, Clemson, and Virginia. Game Day's Kirk Herbstreit with his thoughts on the huge college football news.
It's big because not only do you get Arch Manning, but we all know how this is going to impact tight ends, receivers, running backs who are all going to want to play with him. And I keep going back to Sark. If you're a Texas fan, you better go give Steve Sarkisian a big hug, because as much as Texas has to offer, I think the built-in relationship that started at Alabama when Sark was there as an OC, that's why he ended up ultimately picking Texas.
And now we welcome in the host of College Game Day, Reese Davis.
What's up, buddy? Reese Davis,
kind enough to join us. Reese, thank you so much for being with us. And obviously, I just mentioned some of those big programs. You know how much Stephen A. loves Alabama and Arch choosing Texas. I mean, how surprising was this?
Only moderately surprising. What Kirk mentioned is right. Talking to people close to Arch and also people who've worked with him, the relationship with Sarkisian was huge and has been there from his days as a coordinator at Alabama and carried over to Texas. But what I had thought, and from hearing things in recent weeks, is that Georgia had sort of turned the tide, so to speak. And I expected that he would go to Georgia. But I guess the relationship with Sarkisian carried the day. And I think with Molly and Stephen A., I think with any other player, I would say, don't think this is over for Georgia. Let's see how Texas does. Remember, Texas had a six-game losing streak that included a loss to Kansas this past year. Let's see how it goes. But because of that word as a bond thing that you get with the Mannings, which is very admirable, and the fact that Arch has handled this recruitment just like a pro, I think it's really, really solid, and I think he'll play his college football at Texas.
Reese, let me sound a little corny here for a second before I ask you my next question. I want to give major, major props to the Mannings. I'm talking about the whole Manning family. For people who haven't dealt with them, let me emphasize, they're always first class. All of them. Peyton, Cooper, Eli, Archie. I interviewed his wife. Archie Manning's wife one time. Mrs. Manning, the matriarch of the family. They are just absolutely wonderful, wonderful people. So I just want to say that. And I'm looking at this kid, Arch Manning, and I got to ask you, because Sarkisian was 5-7 last year, but I ain't holding that against him. We all know COVID and everything else has been going on. It's just a lot to deal with. That was his first year at Texas. I was surprised, however, that you decided to go to the Big 12 instead of the SEC. Your comments about that?
Well, I think we don't know how long it'll be. We know when Texas is supposed to move to the SEC, but it could come earlier. And I think, you know, certainly by the time that Arch is entrenched, it might only be 1 year. But, you know, how these things go, Stephen. He could wind up playing a couple of years in the SEC, depending on how it unfolds.
Right.
But, you know, I echo your sentiments completely about the Mannings. Archie Manning, when I was a kid, and Archie and I have become friends, so he probably doesn't like for me to point out that I watched him play when I was a kid. But he was my favorite professional athlete growing up. So I have a great affinity for the Manning family, and they have handled everything in a first-class manner. Their ties to the SEC are deep, and I think if even with the relationship with Sarkisian, my gut tells me that if Texas weren't going to the SEC at some point in Arch's career, he might have made a different decision, but I think that certainly impacted it.
Break down this from an evaluation standpoint. Let's talk about Arch Manning. How good is this kid?
I mean, I know he's high school. I mean, you're going to college. We're going to see what you got. He's a Manning that comes with huge, huge expectations. What do they say about him?
He's got a great release. He's got an outstanding arm, and he sees the field as you would expect someone with his pedigree to do. The one thing that people might not know, because Cooper, his dad, was injured when he was a player at Ole Miss. He was a wide receiver and an excellent athlete. And Arch, as you're seeing some of the tape there, can move. Peyton and Eli were not noted as runners. And, you know, it's not like Arch would be a guy who could, you know, go to Navy and run the triple option. But he can certainly move. He can throw on the move. He's got great awareness. People who've worked with him, his quarterback coaches, would just rave about his ability to see things, his release. Certainly as a young guy, he's going to get stronger. He's going to get some of that grown man strength in addition to the weight room strength that I think is going to make his arm even more explosive. I mean, obviously, there's nothing but limitless potential for Arch Manning.
When I think about Texas, I mean, obviously, Texas is, you know, they've got some history. They're the Longhorns of the Longhorns. We understand that. I think Austin, Texas, I mean, I think it's a phenomenal, phenomenal town. I mean, that's a great, great place to go to college. Let me be very, very clear about that. They've dropped off a little bit in years, up and down, to say the least, or whatever. What's been the reason for that in your estimation?
They've gotten a little complacent, and they've sort of rested on some of those laurels and some of the reputation. And it's been a thing that I think several coaches have had to try to fight against, a feeling of, well, we're Texas, this is supposed to happen. I don't think it's the case now, but for a while they've fallen a little bit behind on facilities. There are some other things that some coaches will tell you, that their proliferation of 7-on-7 and spread offenses has made it less likely or a little more difficult to find as many big, strong, physical players. In Texas, there are still certainly plenty of them, but that the style of football has impacted them a little bit. I don't think any of those things would be like the reason, but it's sort of like all of those little factors have come together. You get a little bit of malaise that they've had trouble breaking out of through several coaches, and, you know, They have to sort of earn their way back to that type of stage. And certainly, you know, they blew a lot of second half leads last year. They had the losing streak. They had the embarrassing loss to Kansas, which I don't mean to disparage Kansas. I mean, they certainly improved last year, but they had no business beating Texas, and they did. So, you know, all those things, I think that Texas has been humbled, and we'll find out if they're hungry enough to win big on the stage, on the big stages coming up.
Yeah. Giant leap in the right direction.
Before you ask Reese's next question, just so the audience to know, Texas we're talking about, where Vince Young won a national title over UFC. With the exception of 2020, they've had at least 4 losses in a season every single year since 2010.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, they'll have to figure it out, especially projected to join the SEC in 2025, Oklahoma as well. Reese, I want to get back to the decision, though. What role do you think NIL may have played in his decision to go to Texas?
Not any, I don't think. Now, he's going to be very marketable, but I don't think that's the way the Manning family, Stephen A., talked about earlier. I don't really think that's how they roll. They don't have to. That's true. And that's fine. They chose to handle this recruitment sort of in an old school manner. And there will be plenty of opportunities for Arch after he plays well. I mean, you know, I don't think it played a really big role. They're certainly very savvy and astute. They know there are opportunities that are going to be there, but they didn't necessarily need them to be a determining factor in the recruiting.
No, more of a football decision, rather than monetary for the Mannings. Understood. Reese Davis, thank you so much for the time. This is exciting. Looking forward to a great college football season. I know you'll be all over it.
So am I. Thanks, Molly. Stephen A., great to see you.
All right, buddy. See you. Molly,
have a great weekend.
I got to tell you, Molly, you know you love talking to a lot of the ladies that show up on the sports scene and show up on this show. Oh, my goodness. The Mannings, especially the matriarch of that family, people. Oh,
first family of football.
First family, without question.
All right.
Class personified.
Reese, have a great weekend.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. 2 things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting LectricEbikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.